A lot of countries over different years have problems with great ideas going somewhere else because we can't cope with it. I've seen it happen in Ireland, where a brain drain saw a lot of people leave that country to come here. It took the Silicon Valley Revolution to actually bring a lot of the brains back there. Now, Australian entrepreneurs are finding it so hard to get some of the starts they want. They're heading away from us. Not a good look. Matt Barry, CEO for Freelancer.com. And it is a worry, isn't it?
It is. There's something like 10,000 Australians working in Silicon Valley or in the San Francisco area at this point in time. And the problem is that a lot of the engineers that are leaving and so forth are brilliant. Their ideas are fantastic. And they end up starting U.S. companies, and they don't actually come back. They get green cards and they stay. And that's a bit of a problem here for our local economy.
Well, I would have thought so. But even when it gets down to things like startup organisations, online fashion businesses, like a 20-year-old woman, Nikki Durkin, has started this thing, and she's not sure that Australians have, you know, really got what it takes to buy all of these sorts of things she's got to offer.
I know Nikki very well. She started her company in Australia 2 years ago, actually, and she spent a lot of time trying to get off the ground, trying to raise money from local investors and what have you. And, you know, local investors are very risk-averse, and obviously when a 20-year-old girl walks in with very little sort of operational experience trying to start a company, it's the risk-taking attitude is not really here. And additionally, the capital appetite isn't here either. But she's just gone across, and she got accepted to the Y Combinator program, which was, you know, the premier tech incubator in Silicon Valley. And in fact, her company, what came out, was rated by Robert Scoble, who's like the famous tech blogger, as the best company that came out of 62 that on the demo day. And now she's got a whole bunch of really top-tier venture capitalists who are, you know, writing big checks to back her company.
And she's saying she wants to build a $1 billion company. I mean, this girl is 20. This woman is 20. Mm-hmm. 5 years ago, at 15, she was pulling, what, $500 a week designing and selling T-shirts online. I mean, this is a magical person.
Well, I mean, it's also a magical time. I mean, there's not many industries in the world where a 28-year-old can make $18 billion, and this is what Mark Zuckerberg's just done with Facebook. So, I mean, the interesting thing about the internet today is if you've got a product or service which has affinity with the market, you've got 2 billion people on the internet which are potential customers. And literally, as we've seen, particularly, and this trend is accelerating over the last few years, you throw up a website or a mobile app, and it's something that people love or like. I mean, this can blow up into something massive, literally overnight.
Hey, look at Angry Birds, the people who invented that thing. Somebody got me started on that. I've contributed to the billions going to this Finnish company.
Well, I mean, Angry Birds is one example. Instagram is another one recently. This is a company that was only 551 days old, had 13 employees, no revenue, and 30 million users suddenly on it, and caused Zuckerberg to write a check for $1 billion. I mean, it's a pretty amazing time on the internet now, is that every industry is, you know, basically turning into a software business quite rapidly. And, you know, you can be 20 years old, have a great idea about revolutionising some archaic way in which we do things, and you can have a huge success overnight.
Can we actually hold on to them here in Australia? Because after all, America is America. If you can make it big there in a 15-minute interview, you know, if you go in and see somebody and you can sell yourself inside 10, 15 minutes, you're on your way, aren't you?
Well, yeah, I mean, it depends, frankly, I think, on the industry that you're involved in. There's a lot of industries where you need to be close to the customer. And the thing about America is it's such a big market, yeah. and you know, it's English-speaking, and it's relatively easy in terms of being able to produce a product or service to the market. But in a lot of cases, you actually physically have to be there. I mean, particularly the CEO, who's the chief salesperson, you know, needs to be there for a lot of industries. But there are a bunch of other businesses or other industry areas where you don't. Like consumer internet, for example, my business at Freelancer, we really sell globally. And it really doesn't really matter when you're selling through a website or to consumers, you know, where you are. But I think the bigger problem really is the fact that it is hard to get capital in Australia to start your business. I mean, there is a fair bit of capital sort of sloshing around, but it's not really in the usual areas, and it's very, very, very risk adverse. They want to see someone with a master's from Stanford, or they want Harvard, or, you know, a university like that before they back them. In the US, there's a lot more of a culture for, you know, taking risks and going out there and backing, you know, young people to go out there and create businesses.
Well, when you start to hear stories such as venture capital firm Axel Partners saying $100 million is what they've invested in Australia in just three companies alone, and there's no upper limit, that's pretty exciting stuff.
Well, what's particularly exciting is one of the investments they made in a company called Atlassian, which is, you know, it's going to be the next $1 billion. In fact, it's probably almost at that sort of capitalization now, Australian software company. This was the biggest check they've ever written for a software company, which is $60 million. And it was their first investment with an Australian company. So that's a really, really good endorsement of Australian technology that they're willing to go out there and write it, you know, such a huge check in one company. I mean, the problem we have, though, is now that Excel Partners is in Atlassian, et cetera, that's going to very much turn into a U.S. company. It's going to be listed on a U.S. stock exchange and not the Australian stock exchange, et cetera. And, you know, this is the problem is with this traditional venture capital in Australia is the model very much is Australian investors come in, they fund the company early on, they take it to the U.S., and then they try and find U.S. investors. And really, at that point, what happens is the Australian company ends up transitioning to be a U.S. company with U.S. shareholders, the U.S. management team, and so on. And, you know, the whole advantage of having an offshore development team in Australia is waning quite quickly because with the exchange rate like it is, it's actually more expensive to hire someone from the University of Sydney as a graduate than from Stanford on a salary basis.
All right. Well, News Limited had all of those things happen. It's a story that is not going to go away, and it's good to talk to you today. Thank you.
Great. Thank you.